The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Good morning to everybody. It's good to see you all again. It's been a while. I guess I must have been on bad behavior, and you know, but now I'm out. So today we've got another of these super dense texts from St. Paul. I don't know if you noticed, it seems like priests don't usually preach on St. Paul. For one simple reason, it's hard. St. Paul, he's always super dense. And actually, I'm even looking at the reading right now, and it takes up this much space. But nonetheless, I'm going to dig into it, and you're going to see that there's a lot there. So St. Paul begins, this is not what you want to wake up to a Sunday in here. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Have a happy Sunday. Okay? So what is St. Paul talking about? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's kind of a wonder why Christianity is not popular, right? Okay, first of all, I'm not one of these Greek scholars, but I decided to go the Greek scholar route and dig up a couple of words. When he uses the word body in the Greek language, when you're reading the Bible in the original language in which it was written, and this part of the Bible, for your knowledge, was not written in Hebrew, and it wasn't written in Aramaic, which is what Jesus spoke, it was written in Greek. Why? Because the Roman Empire had taken over that whole section of the world, and the Romans loved the Greek language. It was like the cool language to speak. So when St. Paul and the original apostles were evangelizing the eastern part of the Greek of the Roman Empire, Greek was the lingua franca. So that's why we have this Greek language. But the word he uses here, he had two choices. There was sarx, which is one signification for flesh or body, and then there was soma. The word here he used was somata, plural. Offer your bodies. And in this sense, the word soma can be used to imply our flesh, our body, you know, like this two arms and two legs and stuff, but also it has kind of an overarching connotation of person, your wholeness, who you are. For example, if you read the New Testament and you get to the words where Jesus consecrates the Eucharist, he says, "This is my body, soma." Which can be implied, this is my body, this is me, this is my person, this is not just, you know, a symbol. This is me, I'm giving myself to you, okay? So Christ, so St. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. There's a few things going on here. How many of us have heard the words, kind of a popular concept, that it's my body, I can do whatever I want with it, right? Well, that's actually wrong. It is your body only to an extent. You don't get to do whatever you want with it for the same reason that you don't get to do whatever you want in life. God made us for a reason. And the idea being, the word soma implies if it's more than just, you know, meat, but it's implying kind of this is who you are, this is your person, this is your being. Well, that's true. You're not a soul that has a body. Your body and soul together, both of them are you. Your body is as much you, in a sense, as your soul is, okay? Even though when you die, your body and soul are going to be temporarily separated until the final coming of our Lord, He made us body and soul together for a purpose. So your soul is not, sorry, your body is not just disposable goods. It's not just, you know, a play toy. Well, here's something you can play with during your lifetime, see what you can make out of it. No, it needs to be venerated, it needs to be cared for, because it is, in a sense, you. It is part of you. It has the dignity of being what God gave you and what He wants to bring into heaven. Something that a lot of people, I think, don't realize is when we go to heaven, in the short term, you would say, yes, our bodies and souls are separated, but after the final judgment, and this is something we say every Sunday in the Creed, we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. What's that mean? It means you and I someday are going to be reunited body and soul in heaven, or if we don't do a good job in life, in hell. You will have a glorified body in heaven. Right now in heaven, there are Jesus and Mary. They have their glorified bodies already. Seemingly in the Old Testament, there's Enoch and maybe even Elijah. I'm not sure. But for sure, Mary and Jesus are there, body and soul. Why? Because they are the perfection. They are the fulfillment already of what you and I are waiting for. Okay. So when St. Paul says, offer your bodies or offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, well, that doesn't sound very fun, right? Well, let's understand what is the term sacrifice. Kind of from God's perspective. The word sacrifice comes from two words. Here's me trying to be intellectual again, okay? The word sacrifice comes from two words in Latin this time, sacro and facere, which means to make holy. So the word sacrifice means you're taking something lower and you're making it holy, you're elevating it by what? By offering it to God. And the logic of a sacrifice, we make them all the time, is I'm taking something lesser and exchanging it for something greater. So for example, if you want to be good at sports, I'm taking something lesser, my discomfort, for example, and all the sacrifice that is implied in doing the exercises and training and practicing and everything, in order to achieve something greater, which is that you develop the skill and your body just develops the strength to be a great athlete, and greater yet comes the honor and the prestige of being the great athlete and maybe even winning awards and maybe even, you know, having your team win the finals or whatever. So you're willing to sacrifice a lesser for a greater. When God is asking us to sacrifice, He's saying, I have given you all kinds of gifts, more gifts that you and I can even count. A world, a body, friendship, sunshine, you know, all these wonderful things that are out there in the world, I've given them to you to be used, but they're not a goal in and of themselves. Every single thing that God has given us, including our very selves, is given to us so that we can render it unto God, we can offer it up to God in sacrifice, and He will return to us something better. So if there's anything in life that we choose to hold back from God, no matter how beautiful or good it is, we're failing to give God the honor that He deserves, and we're basically holding out on, we're preventing ourselves from receiving blessings. God is like, it's kind of like if you were in the stock market and you had, you know, a crystal ball, so you automatically knew ahead of time. I guarantee for every dollar you invest in this stock, you will get $1,000 back. You may have to wait a little while. You might watch the market go up and down for a year or two. But after 2 years, I guarantee you will get a 1,000-to-1 return. Well, who wouldn't invest in that? Even if it feels like for the next year or two, it's like, oh boy, I mean, we're going to be eating lentils and bread for a while. But when it comes, it's really going to come. Okay? And the same thing is true in the spiritual life. God is saying, I want you to invest absolutely everything, because I'm going to give you not 10 to 1 or 100 to 1. I'm going to give you like 1,000 to 1 return. But you have to give everything. That's the deal. And what does this come down to? This really comes down to the first commandment. You know how we have the 10 Commandments? You remember those, right? Back when we were little kids, we were forced to memorize the 10 Commandments. It'd be good if we checked in on them once in a while. Go to confession, check the 10 Commandments. What is the very first commandment? It's the foundation of all the others. It says, you will have no other gods before me. You will love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. You will have no other gods besides him. Absolutely everything that God has given us is a gift to be offered up to him so that he can return greater blessings to us. What is the function of a priest, by the way? I'm an ordained priest. I come up here. That's why I'm wearing the fancy robes, right? What is my function? I will tell you, my primary function is not to preach. It's part of my function. But if my primary function was just to come up here and talk to you and yak at you a little bit, then you would not call me a priest, you would call me a preacher. I would be a Protestant minister. Or I could even be a layperson who preaches. The primary function of a priest, in any religion for that matter, is to offer sacrifice to God. That is what the Mass is. In just a few minutes, we're going to offer up the greatest sacrifice, not only the greatest sacrifice that ever existed, but the greatest sacrifice that's even possible. God is going to offer his very self on the altar. Jesus Christ, true God and true man, perfect God, perfect man, is going to offer himself totally to his Father on our behalf, so that you and I can receive the greatest gift really that's imaginable for us, which is the Eucharist. That's what we do every Sunday. That's why the church says, you gotta come. It's not an optional activity. Because there's something so important, so beautiful that's taking place. God knows that this is what we need. So, here comes the question for each one of us. What are the things that you and I are attached to? The whole thing that makes sacrifice difficult is we tend to get attached to things. And we get attached to things not because they're bad. Nobody gets attached to cancer. Nobody gets attached to pain. Nobody gets attached to any of those things. We get attached to things that are good. Right? What are the things that I'm not willing to let go of? Because that is the thing that is preventing you, or me in my case, from becoming a saint. That is the thing. That is the thing that where God is going to look at us and not, he's not even going to judge and say, what are all these other things that you're giving me? That's nice. God is going to look and say, what are the one or two things that you want to hold out on? That's the thing I want you to give me. I'll give you a little anecdote, and with this I'll close. I was listening to a podcast the other day on YouTube or something like that. With an exorcist. He's a priest that I like to listen to because he gives good insights on stuff. And he was talking because I guess he was, you know, in an exorcism. There's a moment where you eventually get the devil to start talking and revealing the information that you need to be able to drive him out, because each demon is different and each one has their different time and moment and everything. And in his dialogue, questioning with this devil, it came out, you know, he's understanding more and more. What was the fall of the demons? What was their temptation that they simply wouldn't say yes to God? And the temptation was, the question came down to sacrifice again. God made every angel with, you know, each angel is unique and beautiful, and each angel has certain gifts and powers, if you want, and things that make them kind of like superheroes. And God asked each one of the angels whatever the one thing that they were, that most was like their main quality, or the thing they were most kind of attached to. He said, will you give it up? If I want to take it from you, will you give it up for me? And the ones who said yes, which was 2/3 of them, are the angels in heaven. And the ones who said no rebelled and said, no, I'm attached to this gift that you gave me, and I'm not willing to give it up. And we see the angels in heaven, by saying yes, God has blessed them far more than what their original state was. He's not only given them back the thing that he had asked for in the first place, but he has multiplied his gifts, and they enjoy a blessedness that's far greater than what they enjoyed before the test. Well, the same is true of us. If God asks us to sacrifice anything to him, it's only because he wants to give you back something much, much greater. So let's each one of us look into ourselves and say, when God comes knocking on my door, what will my answer be? In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.